South African archaeologists David Lewis Williams and Thomas Dowson first proposed that Aboriginal rock art found in locations around the world were made by shamans in an altered state of consciousness. Writing their dreams upon the rock marked the outcome of their vision quest. Kevin Callahan is a graduate student at the University of Minnesota. His master's thesis was on shamanism and Native American pictographs and petroglyphs. Pictographs are found painted over the rock and petroglyphs carved into it. I called him up at his home in Minneapolis-St. Paul.
It was very important for someone who was on a vision quest to remember the dream because it was a gift from the other world and it was part of the power. So when you were gaining power by going on a vision quest and gaining information, you had to remember it. Well, as everybody knows, you know, when you wake up from a dream, you tend to forget it unless you write it down. So there's some indication that the petroglyphs were quickly hecked out in order to remember both what was in the vision and also the spot where it was gained and where that power came from, so that if you were going to go back to that spot to have a contact with the other world or spirit world, that you could go back to the spot where you had that vision.
If it's true that the images are depictions of what the shamans actually saw during trance, then much of it looks like entoptic imagery.
Well, entoptic, it's a Greek word, and basically it means within or behind the eye.
Dave Whitley is a professor of archaeology at UCLA. He's the leading authority on California rock art.
And it refers to the fact that in certain circumstances, our optical system in our brain will generate imagery internal to itself, will interpret those as being things we're seeing, but we're not really seeing them in the outside world. They're in our brain.
Entoptic images are geometric shapes, zigzags, wavy lines, visual dits and dots, and crosshatches like a grid for a game of X's and O's. They're part of the brain's underlying architecture for sight.
Now, the circumstances under which those are generated commonly would include a trance, an altered state of consciousness or a hallucination, a blow to the head, a migraine headache perhaps, or even we can generate them if we stare at a bright light and close our eyes and then press our eyelids. We'll see those geometric patterns.
The other thing that truly is universal are the existence of phosphenes or photisms.
Maureen Korp teaches art history and religious studies at Carleton University. Dr. Korp has visited rock art sites around the world.
And those are those little squiggly squiggles and the lines and the dots and things that you find in a hypnagogic state, which is where your brain is as you're about to fall off to sleep. You know, your eyes are closed and you're seeing these little bright splotches. Sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes. Or, if you're not wearing contact lenses, you could do this right now. Close your eyes and press very lightly on the eyelid and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Those squiggles show up everywhere. And they show up on pottery, they show up in embroidery, they show up on the walls of Lascaux. The question is, what do they mean? But the form itself, that's the human being making it.
Well, I think it's quite clear if you look at indigenous drawings and just ancient drawings going back to caveman days, a lot of it is imagery which simply naturally seems to flow out of the brain in altered states. So it is not surprising to me that some images, certain swirls, certain boxes and so on are considered archetypal because they're actually as archetypal as you can get. They're coming out of the neural structure of the body itself.
Dean Radin, author of The Conscious Universe. Our canoes slip silently past each pictograph, from panel to panel, until we come alongside a large crack in the rock, a geophysical fault which frames an arch in the cliff face. It's like a small grotto, but large enough to shelter one canoe. Yet I am not alone here. From the inside looking out, a pictograph outlines a solo paddler in another vessel, the bow pointing out from the rock toward the channel, as if heading out of a portal. Dave Whitley.
Native Americans actually are quite specific about the cracks. Quite simply, they're the doors to the supernatural. When the shaman went into a trance, it was said the cracks would open up and he would walk in. One of the results is we do sometimes find offerings that are probably prehistoric in age that were left in these cracks. The cracks were essentially the doorway. You leave an offering in that crack, and it's like leaving a present on the doorstep of the spirit that's inside.
Everyone left an offering along the ledge, our canoes hugging the cliff face on the waterline. Cliff Spear laid out a pouch of tobacco. I set aside 3 stones, purple amethysts from northern Ontario. One of them slipped out of my hand, fell into the depths. The loud splash kind of startled me. The sound here has a tightness to it. The water lapping between the canoe and the wall of the rock gives off an odd splooshing sound, a peculiar echo. Repetitive sounds, prolonged rounds of drumming, chanting, are known to induce trance. The flicker and dance of shadows from a fire. Deep breathing, too. It's said the rock paintings will speak to those who listen, reveal its secrets to those who can see. In the second stage of trance, cartoon-like figures appear, animated in some instances, pulsating as if alive. The third stage is somatic, says Kevin Callahan. Your body stretches out of shape as you start to fly around or dig deep into the ground. You can morph. Extra fingers or toes show up. You might even turn into an animal, like a wolf or bear. Feel your whole body change. And it all seems very real, Kevin said. Here, along the channel near Hixon Lake in northern Saskatchewan, several of the pictographs remind me of the shapeshifters Kevin described. Bonnie Hamilton.
I felt it was a person coming out of the animal and changing back to a person. And I don't think of it as a shapeshifter. I think of it more on a mental plane, not physically changing, but mentally changing. And I think by having a boogan, you have the power to be able to move, but using your brain. That's what I tend to think.
Over the years, I've visited several rock art locations, recorded my travels on film and video. The remarkable thing about pictographs and petroglyphs is how similar they look around the world. The entoptic imagery appears to jump between cultures, even when distance and chronology have deemed it impossible for civilizations to have had contact with each other. It's like some kind of strong magic has been invoked. The same visions arise, and the same story remains to be seen again and again. Modern science verifies this. Medical research has determined all human beings have common experiences in altered states of consciousness. The content of the dreamlike states may differ, but the process of human perception in trance is the same. Kevin Callahan is expert on the rock art of Minnesota.
Well, I think human beings are generally speaking wired similarly in terms of our neurology. And the experiments that have been done by the medical community indicates that there's some common patterns to what we all perceive as we go through the stages into deeper altered states of consciousness. So some people, however, are better at going into altered states than others, and those people tended to become shamans. If you ask people around you that you know what experiences they've had with things like encounters with unexplained phenomenon, frequently those things can be explained through the medical model, but most people who actually experience them believe they're real because their senses tell them that what they're experiencing is real. So I don't know, I can't really be disparaging in any way of people who believe that the experiences that they've had are real. And there's a lot of research on this that indicates that sometimes people firmly believe something to be true, which an independent observer watching them would indicate is not true. For example, in the Middle Ages, witches believed that they flew on broomsticks, and that was a result of atropine, which was ingested through the skin. And there were people standing right over them who watched them throughout the whole process, and they could not convince them that they had not gone flying on a broomstick, even though they had been standing over them from the beginning of the process of entering altered states until they came out of it. So it's two views of the same experience, one from the outside and one from the inside.
Tim Jones.
In the rock art of Texas, for example, and Southern California, there's some unbelievable polychromatic art that archaeologists have shown is really directly connected to taking of substances that cause hallucinations. And what the people are depicting there are actual visions or things that they're seeing in real life, so to speak, really colorful things that you're seeing right before your eyes.
Are these rock art depictions of what the shaman actually saw?
Well, the depictions could be of things that were seen during altered states of consciousness. The most common instructions would follow something like this. They'd say, well, you should go out to the vision quest site and stay awake for about 4 days. And during that time period, you would smoke tobacco, fast, and pray, and so forth. And the medical studies that have been done with college students have indicated that if after 4 days of intense concentration and staying awake, that they would see things like people that weren't really there. They'd see the room kind of break up into little particles and start shimmering. And so the instructions for the vision quest pretty much parallel what medical doctors have found when they've had subjects go through sleep deprivation.
Also sounds like a pathology.
Well, it isn't a pathology. What it is the altered state of consciousness is like a waking dream. So in your brainstem, it's like a light switch that goes on and off. And if you can toggle that so that you're conscious while you're dreaming, you have the equivalent of a hallucination or a waking dream. And this has been used by other modern artists. For example, Salvador Dali is an example of someone who would have an assistant wake him up when he went into rapid eye movement sleep, or the period of sleep when you're dreaming. And when he would wake up, he'd be having a waking dream. He'd be hallucinating. And then he used those images in his artwork.
Kevin Callahan. We need to stay awake to dream, to remember, to become aware of the shadows of the spirit.